Chapter 4, Lilith and Lulu. From the preceding chapters, you will have understood that the self-protecting measures taken by the other planetary mankinds have, in respect to our Earth, the aim of cleansing the latter's magnetic sphere of the unholiness caused by mankind. The radiating unholiness would otherwise undoubtedly damage all the other magnet IC systems in the solar system. This damage could be fatal for the entire magnetic system. However, we have to perceive that this cleansing does not imply the destruction of all unholy values, materials, and forces. The cleansing can, at best, mean a concentration of all disharmonious developments, a conglomeration of all wickedness in the air. The spaceships responsible for this work attune themselves totally to the original pure Earth radiations of our dialectical planet. That is, just as these radiations ought to be according to the emergency plan underlying this solar system. Everything that is produced by mankind and does not relate correctly to this fundamental radiation is concentrated by the cleansing work at a certain point in the Earth's magnetic field, just where the spiraling. Magnetic radiations move into more vertical ones. If we now think of everything perpetrated by mankind which does not relate harmoniously to the fundamental Earth radiation, we shall conclude that there will have to be two concentrations. Firstly, we will find that all the evil mankind commits by thinking, willing, and doing causes magnetic upheaval. If we add to this the consequences of atomic vandalism and other scientific frenzies, we see a concentration of all mankind's evil in its actual manifestation. Secondly, we shall understand that the 1001 speculations of mankind in the field of religion and the bourgeois urge for goodness are not in tune either with the fundamental Earth radiation. Therefore, they are also concentrated and neutralized from the fundamental Earth currents. These two concentrations are indeed present and have now become so condensed by the attraction of matter that they can be perceived. One speaks of two moons of two new celestial bodies, apart from the well-known moon. They are conglomerations of electromagnetic forces. One could speak of two electromagnetic fields. As they have been removed from the Earth's magnetic field and begun to lead an existence of their own, they cannot as such pollute the solar system with unholiness. Their functions were dangerous for the solar system because they impregnated the Earth's magnetic field, yet now, in their isolation, they try to turn to their creators. This will be prevented, at least for the time being, by a certain balancing action. What we have created ourselves is obviously linked to us. What has in this way risen as clouds from the earth will be attracted again by the whole of mankind. However, it cannot be poured out upon us at this moment because the radiating earth current prevents this for the time being. Yet an influencing activity emanates from the two new moons, namely, upon all who have polarity with them by their state of life. This influencing activity, without as yet speaking of an outpouring, already has immense consequences. It will be clear to you that a moment will come when the magnetic potential of these two temporary celestial bodies will become so powerful that their magnetic radiation force will exceed that of the radiating Earth current. As soon as this is the case, both moons will pour themselves out over the Earth. They will literally fall upon Earth and cause immense disasters, which will make life on Earth as we know it absolutely impossible. The present situation is a stay of execution for mankind and for the Earth, as well as for the entire solar system. A child will understand that mankind's present existence in all fields of life means a very powerful nourishment for these messengers of doom, and thus an increase in their magnetic potential. In this way, mankind itself brings the day of its own destruction closer. The most lethal of the two moons, the one laden with intense wickedness, was sometimes called Lilith by the ancients. Lilith is represented as a woman who is prepared for and capable of doing all that is base and bestial. The other moon, the one laden with the bourgeois delusion of goodness, is called Lulu, also represented as a woman who, by her superficial goodness without background or worth, seduces mankind, chaining it to its mistakes. The universal doctrine speaks of mystery moons which appear only from time to time in world history, though when they appear and become visible, the death knell of mankind can be tolled. We will understand that many times in world history, Lilith and Lulu have appeared and disappeared again. The actual revelation for mankind is the well-known saying, numbered, numbered, weighed and found wanting. Both moons are at the same time life fields. This life is, of course, in keeping with the individual condition of the moons. It would be possible to describe the nature and condition of this life, but we refrain from this as such a description would lead us into infernal horror of such immeasurable dimensions that the thought image would haunt us for a very long time, by day and by night. The day of catastrophe would be brought nearer by all this thought activity, the more so, because all this life, however gigantic and grotesque, would seem to be very familiar to us. The two mystery moons are mirrors in which, owing to their special nature, all of mankind's deeds are reflected and experienced in a very extensive and special way. You may know the story, which was also made into a film, where a man stares into a mirror and sees in the reflection another person besides himself, endowed with a totally independent life. This double situation makes the person concerned frantic and gives rise to all kinds of complications. You will understand that the idea on which this author has drawn is true and very well known. Why do we write down all these things for you? Not only because we are participants in mankind and as such also have to bear up against the influences and the threats of Lilith and Lulu, but we tell you this mainly because all these things have a very special significance for us if we are human beings who want to go the path of the Rosy Cross. Your microcosm is a world in miniature, and your personality controls and influences that microcosm in very many ways. One could say you are the mankind of your microcosm. Now, when you walk the path with all the seriousness of which you are capable, then something happens in your microcosmic system that strongly resembles the work which is being done by the flying saucers and the spaceships with their crews for their own sakes and for the stay of execution of mankind in the way we have discussed. When the electromagnetic radiation of the Gnosis is poured out over your microcosmic system, all unholiness and disharmony within will be expelled. The entire microcosmic magnetic field of your personality and your aural being becomes purified, usually without you being aware of it. For the mere fact that the Gnostic fire touches the rose of the heart brings about a partial purification in your magnetic field. Yet not one of us should think that this purification is complete. It only concerns an expulsion, a concentration of a twofold nature, a Lilith and a Lulu, develops precisely in the same way as in our cosmos. They are well known as the guardians on the threshold. They are yours. You have created them. They are with you until you yourself will consciously resolve and nullify them. As long as this is not the case, they stand as a threat at a certain point in your magnetic field, outside your aural being. As soon as you let go of your one-pointedness of purpose upon the Gnosis and fall back into your old ways of life, in whatever unholy way, you immediately link yourself to both your guardians, and as a flash of lightning, they rush upon you as fire flames with all the consequences this entails. Very many unhealthy situations, much hereditary behavior, very many conflicts in the nervous system are related to these activities. It is therefore an extremely great grace when, by the very least link with the Gnosis, such a purification takes place. Yet it is extremely necessary that you yourself destroy the living, vibrating dirt heap. It is wonderful to know that by a new attitude of life we have nothing to fear from either of our guardians in our microcosm. It is wonderful to know that when we persevere unwaveringly, both guardians, who at first are like giants in size and strength, will weaken and gradually shrivel up until they no longer exist. This process is called the passing of the guardians, the unwavering perseverance on the path. Therefore, it is fatal for those who go the path and are continuously purified by the power field to allow their guardians to enter again. Nobody can keep this up in the long run. The entire microcosmic system wears away to such an extent that it can quite possibly be lost completely. Lastly, you will understand why the children of the light, when they let go of it, fall deeper than the children of darkness. Because of their fall, they firstly become totally disorganized at the hands of their own guardians, and subsequently they become a totally willless prey of both world guardians. Therefore, the path is wondrous in its beauty and grace. He who stands on it can be truly free from the very first second. It can, however, also become a millstone for those who do not understand, who reject and do not act. Let that be a warning to every one of us.